Thank you. Thank you so much, Jill. I do owe you an apology, though, Jill. At the Lyric, we're currently in production of The Beverly Hillbillies and have the privilege of being able to direct that show, and Paul and Jill are in that show, and Jill plays the role of Jane Hathaway, Mr. Drysdale's secretary, if you remember that. And Jill, for the first 30 seconds, I was sitting there thinking to myself, I didn't know Miss Hathaway could sing. And then I realized, oh, no, you would have to be in theater to understand that. You're up there so often and so much rehearsing, you lose track of, is that Jill or is that Miss Hathaway? As far as the message goes, Priscilla, I think really all I need to do is say what Priscilla said, and then we can go home. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that so much. What a great story. Great story. In your bulletin is the scripture lesson for today. We'll be reading others as we go throughout. But this one is found in 1 John 3:14 through 18, if you would like to follow along. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in a word or speech, but in truth and action. Let us pray. Father, we thank you now for the reading of this, your word. Help us to know and to understand what it is that you would say to us today. We ask and pray these things in your name. Amen. The nation just a couple of weeks ago convulsed in the horror at a video that was shown on Facebook Live. There were suspects in Chicago, and they were beating a disabled man, all the while gleeing that they were broadcasting live on Facebook. While the 18-year-old special needs man was bound, one of the suspects took a knife and cut off a piece of his scalp. The assailants, two male and two female, were later charged with felony aggravated kidnapping, aggravated unlawful restraint, and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. It would be nice if we could say to ourselves that this was merely an isolated incident, but unfortunately it was not. Just this past week, if you recall, there had been a shooting at the AME Methodist Church in Charleston, South Carolina, which resulted this week in the death penalty for Dylan Roof, who killed 9 people. What has happened? What has gone wrong? How is it that life has been so devalued that we no longer see one another as human beings, but rather as objects to be tortured or murdered? Wherever we look, cynicism is on the rise. Common courtesy is no more common, and it's not just a certain group of people. It has nothing to do with age or racial divide or gender-based, and it's not confined to the unchurched. This is a societal epidemic, and one that is presented and penetrated itself even inside the doors of the church. Where is compassion? How do we define compassion? Andre Nguyen, who was a Dutch Catholic priest, said this. He said, compassion is all about the ability to get inside someone else's soul and feel what it is that they are feeling. From Matthew 25, 31, and 40, we read these words. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, ye who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, and when did we feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, that whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So what do we learn? Listen carefully. Jesus taught us that salvation is the work of Christ, but that compassion is the consequence of salvation. Jesus taught us that salvation is the work of Christ, but that compassion is the consequence of salvation. We learn that works of mercy, often very simple ones like clothing the needy, feeding the sick, visiting the sick or feeding the hungry, giving a mere glass of water, treating others with dignity and respect and compassion. True, none of us can help everyone, but all of us can help someone. And when we treat others with respect and compassion, we discover that we are serving Jesus Christ himself. And that a lack of compassion is a lack of respect for others. And a lack of respect for others is a lack of compassion. Whether it manifests itself as a violent crime or simply a dispute in church, it reveals that I could care less about you, that I'm only thinking about myself. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, whether it hurts you or not, I am going to do what I want to do. Peter says, show proper respect to everyone. Everyone. That refers to members of our family, our spouse and our children, the people we work with at the office, our mother-in-law, and mine's here this morning, by the way, I have to say that, brothers and sisters of a different race. Everyone. There was a man who sat at a metro station in Washington, D.C. on a cold January, much colder even than it is here today. He played 6 pieces of music from Bach, and he played for about 45 minutes. And during that time, it was rush hour, so it was calculated that thousands of people walked by this man playing these pieces of Bach on his violin. 3 minutes went by, and a middle-aged man noticed that there was a musician playing. And so he slowed down his pace for just a moment. He stopped and listened for a few seconds, and then he hurried along his way because he had a busy schedule. A minute later, the violinist received his first tip, $1, from a woman who simply threw it into the hat and kept on walking. Later on, another gentleman came and he leaned against the wall briefly, but then he looked at his watch, decided that he needed to be on his way, and he too continued on. Clearly, he was probably late for work. But then a mother came along with a 3-year-old boy. He was fascinated by the music. His mother tagged him along, hurried him, but the kid stopped to look at the violinist. Finally, the mother pushed him hard, and the child continued to walk, turning his head all the time. The action was repeated by several other children, but all of the parents, without exception, forced them to move on. In the 45 minutes that that musician played, only 6 people stopped and listened for a while. About 20 gave him money. He collected $32. When he finished playing and silence took over, no one noticed, no one applauded, nor was there any recognition. No one knew. No one knew that that violinist was a man by the name of Joshua Bell, who is one of the greatest musicians in all of the world. He had played one of the most intricate pieces of music known to mankind on a violin whose price is valued at $3.2 million. No one knew. 2 days earlier, he was in Boston playing at a concert where the average price of a seat was well over $100. I wonder how many of us would have walked right by him. Do we see what a vicious cycle of disconnect that we can create in our world? But that is why we are here in this church today, because the church is where we learn the story of compassion. Because the cross of Calvary, that cross behind me shows how much people matter to God. Because Christ died for people who rejected him and disobeyed him and scorned him. Christ died for them because God considers them people of value and of worth. That is why Matthew said a moment ago that whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Therefore, we see the importance of value of people, and that our loving God has placed that significance and value on everyone. We may never fully understand the soulless acts that seem to be penetrating our society on a weekly basis, making headlines. But by showing compassion, we can show that we do make a difference in our small world that we live in, because doing so authenticates that we are indeed children of God. Jesus ministered in a culture that was very much like ours. He crossed cultural and racial lines as he spoke with and ministered to the woman at the well in Samaria. But even during his 3 years in ministry, which the Jews and the Gentiles had a lot of racial hostility happening, but Christ modeled that all men, regardless, were precious in his sight. A Canaanite woman came to Jesus. We learned that her ancestry was Gentile. And at this point in history, Jesus considered Jews considered Gentiles to be unclean. So she approaches Jesus because her daughter is dying and her prayer was urgent. She recognized that Jesus could heal her daughter. Aware of this racial divide, Jesus says to her, "I was only sent to help the lost sheep of Israel." And the Canaanite woman responded by saying, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps beneath the master's table." And while Jesus, though his initial response, acknowledged that racial divide, his position was clear and his actions spoke far louder than his words. Why? Because he healed the woman's daughter. In doing this, he made his position clear, and his actions modeled for us what we in the church should make very clear by our word and our deed. Jesus was more concerned about bringing everyone into the fold of God as opposed to shutting them out. When we are filled with the love of Christ and the Spirit of the living God is working through us, we are going to treat other people the way Jesus did. We are going to treat them with value and with dignity and with respect and with compassion. I would suggest that as we kick off the new year, let us make a faith resolution to all of our relationships, especially those within our own family. Because you see, it is not so much what we say we believe that matters as much as how that belief comes out in our behavior. The number one test of our faith, I think, is our relationships. Whether they be at home or at work, in this church, to others that we don't know, we can probably have deep discourse in doctrinal debate, and we can have all the beliefs right, we think, but if we have no compassion, we are still wrong. If we want to be respected, we treat other people with respect. If we want to be treated with value and dignity, we treat other people with value and dignity. If we want people to smile at us, then we smile at them. This is built into the very fabric, I think, of our soul. I have heard it told that great people are just ordinary people who make other people feel great. And let me tell you, we have a lot of great people sitting in this sanctuary. They are great because the most respected and compassionate people are those who show the most respect and compassion. They show kindness, respect to others. They make others feel good about themselves, and they receive back in life tenfold. Sadly, very sadly, we live in a world that is so often lacking compassion. But I can tell you on this day that I am proud to be a member of the First United Methodist Church, because we promote, as the church should, politeness and courtesy. I think that we should all promote our church as the most polite, courteous family church in our community. When people come to this church and they see a large pile of coats and blankets to be given to those in need, or they see one of our wonderful greeters in the hallway with a smile on their face, or they see our members out in the community offering time and money for worthy causes, then people say, wow, they really do love others at First United Methodist Church. It doesn't matter what they wear, what they look like. It doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. It doesn't matter what their social status or their background is. They are friendly, and they are genuinely glad to see you. The church really loves God. That is, I think, my friends, the church that Christ died for us to be. Amen.